All right, sinners and choosers, welcome to Choose Your Own Religion. My name is Joe. Thank you guys so much for tuning in once again for a special Easter edition of Choose Your Own Religion, a little bonus episode for you. Usually I don't do direct preaching. I slip it in the conversation. But today I just wanted to talk a little bit and expound on my thoughts for this year's Easter. And even though I haven't been a Christian for a while, I still want to get a good sermon out, especially because my dad has gotten to do that for 30-some years straight every Sunday. I haven't gotten that opportunity. So here are some of my thoughts. So Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday are two of the sneaky Christian big Sundays out there. When Palm Sunday was always a big deal, my church, I know it's still a big deal, but I couldn't honestly remember why it was a big deal. What's the point of it? And I went to a conservative Lutheran church this past week for Palm Sunday, only because they said they had live animals, and it doesn't matter how homophobic you are, I got to see a live donkey. And so I went to this church, and there was indeed a live donkey and a live goat, and that was it. That was the whole thing. Nobody was riding on it, much less a Messiah, and the rest of the service, we got to wave palm branches if we wanted to. I still didn't get what was the point of it. It just seems kind of like prologue, like exposition we just have to have. Oh, great. Hey, here's everybody loving Jesus. Cool. But then we get to Thursday and Maundy Thursday, which was sneakily, I think, the third biggest, at least in the Presbyterian church I grew up in, the third biggest service day of the year. I mean, you're not topping Easter Sunday or Christmas Eve, but right after that, probably Maundy Thursday, as far as like ones that really bring out the crowds and bring out the best in the churches of their theatrics with lots of dramatic readings of the plot of Jesus dying with very solemn hymns, eat this bread, drink this cup, that hypnotize even the most skeptical of hearts. And so I went to this Episcopalian one, and I took a woman I've been seeing with me who she hadn't been in church in like 6-7 years. And I just threw her right into the deep end of like, this shit is church. But I didn't know, I had never been to an Episcopalian service before. And I didn't expect it to be, first of all, in bilingual, alternating between the pastor saying something in English and another pastor saying something in Spanish. And sometimes they would flip and the white pastor would say something in Spanish, etc. So that was kind of cool. It did add a little bit to the length of the service, but in some ways it was better because they would read like a line of a passage from his homily or from the scripture, and then it would give you some time to like think about what he said. You can kind of like catch up a little bit. So it's really great for slow people. But the other thing I didn't know Episcopalians did was they do this like this feet washing thing. You go in a line, just everybody in the church walks over to like the front of the sanctuary where they have all these stations set up of chairs and water basins, and you go and sit and somebody washes your feet like the disciples did. The whole feet washing thing is lightly touched over in the Presbyterian world. That kink is not our kink. That's okay. Because I put my feet in there. I'm not Episcopalian. And here is some old, sweet Episcopalian woman just very gently just washing and massaging my feet with warm water. Somebody that could be my grandmother. And it's weird how traditions can just connect you not only to strangers, but the past and this feeling, this greater. That did make me feel like, this is part of a long, long line of people with dirty feet who like getting them washed. And then it was my turn that I had to wash somebody's feet. And it was some choir girl who was like 8 years old. And I felt a little uncomfortable at first because I'm like, I'm 20 years older than you. And the pastor just giving this whole sermon on touch and the power of touch, but also that Jesus's touch was consensual touch. And he made some very strong comments against abuses that the church has done, which is really cool. And then it's like, here's an 8-year-old's feet that you have to touch. But it was something that it just instills in you this sense of respect for the moment and for this complete stranger. And again, it was just is an oddly human connecting thing. And I walked back to my pew with just a huge smile on my face. Now, I will say the Episcopalian church was light on like the plot details and light on like the emphasis on like Jesus getting sold out by Judas. I mean, there's some mention of that, but it's a little lighter compared to maybe the Presbyterian emphasis. What occurred to me was that how Palm Sunday set up this whole thing. And it's because Jesus was betrayed, right? And now, I think it's important to, for you guys to know, again, I'm not a Christian, but I do kind of get off on the idea of Jesus being like this archetypical figure, kind of some Joseph Campbell super diet and light type thing, where I think there's so much about the human experience that we just totally resonate with, and that is speaking to us and calling us to be greater than ourselves. And I think what we get from having the Palm Sunday into Maundy Thursday is that deep, deep ass sense of betrayal. It's got Jesus coming in on a donkey, everybody's in love with him, waving palm branches at him, and then by the time we get to Thursday, the Pharisees have ordered him to death. I mean, what the fuck happened? This dude went from being like, "Hail, King of the Jews," to, "Who are you? I don't know him. I don't fucking know him. I don't know him. Fuck him. You know what? Kill him." Like, that was the transition. There's something about the grace that he has in that moment. Grace is usually thrown around in the Christian context. Grace, we usually talk about as like God's grace. Jesus had just a grace of swagger and like a ballerina. Like, he handled betrayal with complete love. He understood. He's like, "Judas, I know you got to do what you got to do. Pharisees, I get it. That's fine." And something that I've heard Richard Rohr talk about is, as one of the messages of Jesus, is betrayal and what it's telling me to do about times I've felt like I've been betrayed. And I've definitely felt like I've been betrayed. I probably felt like I've been betrayed more than I've actually been betrayed. But I figure, like, a good, like, conspiracies, like, there's got to be one conspiracy theory that's true. There's got to be one conspiracy theory about my own getting betrayed by somebody. That's being cheated on by a significant other or people talking back behind your back. And of course, don't get me wrong, I have for sure done my own fair share of harmful shit that people didn't deserve. But obviously, the obvious immediate emotion and reaction is anger, maybe sadness and despair, but it's just throwing that person out of your life. It's condemning that person. But I mean, that's the challenge of the Jesus story, is being like, yeah, you're going to get betrayed. Everybody does. How are you going to respond? How will you be? Will you still be love, motherfucker? Will you still be love? That's capital L love, by the way. And I'm not going to act like I always will be. And I'm definitely not going to act like I'll always feel like it. But this is something that I really believe, that love, sometimes love, we usually think of it in the context of a romance as something you feel. But when you think of love as something that is a process, that is something you do, is something that you generate and you become, that's what we can be, and it doesn't matter who betrays us. It doesn't matter. Will you be love? And don't forget, a lot of times I think I've been betrayed, but really just times I felt entitled to something that never actually belonged to me, like a friendship, right? And in those cases, it makes even more sense to act out of love, because if you don't act out of love in those sense, you just look bad. I know that's a very compelling and powerful message. So this Easter, if you feel like somebody's betrayed you, or whether it's your trust or broken a contract or a promise, and whatever you think of fucking the historical accuracy of the Jesus story or even person, I think we can still remember that love sometimes is short for, fuck, I gotta love them anyway. That was my sermon, folks. Hope it wasn't too heavy-handed. And thank you guys so much for listening. Send me an email at jojoquint.net if you ever want to talk or have a free sticker. I love you guys. Happy Easter. Jamaste.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?